You're listening to Crosslink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email.
Hello, this is Crosslink Radio, and this is Shirley Gutkowski, and we're going to be talking about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral healthcare provider. That's me, Shirley Gutkowski. I'm a clinical dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention mode, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today's show is not so much about our guest. Today, I'm going to introduce a new version of Crosslink Radio, and I am calling it the Sugar Show right now because I'm terrible with titles. So I'm going to kind of give you my little inciting incident into why I think a sugar show is important. And I'm going to use the illustration of a guest that we had contacted to be a guest on the Sugar Show. Sugar has a very, very bad reputation. And ipso facto, that reputation kind of leaks over into all sweeteners, and that having a sweet life is just not in the cards. And so that is exactly why I wanted to have a show about sugar. So in the next few weeks, I don't know, it might be 12 or more weeks, we will be interviewing experts on individual sugars. That is important because the word sugar is having a bad reputation, and as I said, it's coloring all the other sugars. But what's really true is that there's only one sugar that's really detrimental to the human condition as we find it in the United States today with respect to obesity and diabetes and all this other stuff, and that sugar is fructose. I know you were going to say, or think that I was going to say, sucrose, which is table sugar, but table sugar is really bad because of the fructose that's in it. And the rest of the sugar that we eat here in the United States is fructose. It's a high fructose syrup that they use in a lot of different foods. So what we find is the way that I know this is from the Bitter Truth, Sugar, the Bitter Truth, is a YouTube video by Dr. Lustig, who is a pediatric endocrinologist, and that means that he deals with children who have endocrine function disabilities or diseases. And he had noticed that many of his obese patients were getting to be younger and younger. And one day he was looking at an obese 6-month-old child and wondered, how the heck does that happen? That is not an overfeeding kind of a situation. You can't be obese at 6 months of age. You haven't been on the planet long enough. And he went on an odyssey to find out how that happened and why it happened. And he determined that it was fructose, and goes into a very good discussion on how fructose works and why it is so detrimental. And the way that we've ended up using fructose is really super detrimental. This is the reason why high fructose corn syrup is so horrible. It's the fructose part. It's not that it's a condensed sugar part. It's the fructose. So that is the bad sugar. The bad news is that they use fructose in a lot of different things. And the super bad news is that people get the impression, because it's fructose and that means it comes from fruit, that it's okay. So they help themselves to a lot of fruits, and then they eat foods that are high in high fructose corn syrup, and that overtaxes the insulin production in the pancreas and gets stored as fat in the body. That's the short version. If you want a discussion on a longer version of the short version, I would encourage you to go to Underground Wellness on YouTube, and the host there, Sean Croxon, has a very good discussion with a little whiteboard discussion on how that all operates. So you can go to YouTube for either one of those discussions about fructose and fat and insulin. But there are a lot of sugars that are really healthful. Yes, there are healthful sugars. If you are a dental health care professional, you may know me from my introduction of xylitol to the dental community years and years ago, back in 2000 or 2001. And that is a medicinal type of sugar. And there are others that are in that category that you may not know about. So that's why I wanted to have this show. So as I was looking for guests to be on this program and to talk about sugars, we ran across, my assistant Heather and I ran across the author of an anti-sugar series of books, and she was not prepared to talk about an individual sugar and how it is working in the body, so she declined. But in her declining, she wrote back to me in an email, "I hope you're not going to find a way to give people permission to use sugar alternatives." To myself, yes, I am. And I kind of relayed that back to her. And then she goes, "Well, sugar is just bad all the way around, because we know that it's obvious because of what it does to teeth, the hardest substance in the body. It rots teeth." And that to me is a myth. And it is to almost everybody else that deals with teeth. Sugar does nothing to the teeth. If you took a tooth out and you put it in a bowl of any kind of sugar, nothing would happen to that tooth. If you were to take that tooth out and put it into a bowl of Mountain Dew, for instance, the tooth would dissolve because of the acid, because of the citric acid in the Mountain Dew. Citric acid is a pretty big component in a lot of sodas. And that is the most detrimental acid to enamel. And acid in general is detrimental to enamel. So the sugar connection with regard to dental decay comes from feeding the bacteria. So sucrose is a food that the bacteria love, and they take that sucrose and convert it to an acid, and that acid then is dissolving the enamel, and it breaks the enamel particles apart, which brings us to why the teeth dissolve in the presence of sugar. So that's I don't even know how I want to say that, because it's a historical kind of myth that grew out of truth, and I guess that's where a lot of things come from. We only ever had table sugar, and we only ever put table sugar into foods, and so table sugar was the evil because it fed the bacteria, but we have other sugars now. So we're going to be talking about all of those other sugars. So we're going to be talking with an expert on xylitol, for instance, and an expert scientist, not just expert Shirley. We're going to be talking with an expert on erythritol, which is another new-to-us sugar that comes from plants. We're going to be talking about honey and how it interacts in the body and what it does to cells and how it functions and the features of honey as a physiological component. And we're going to be talking about sugars that you've never heard of, like tagatose or arabinose. And the left-handed sugars, Dr. Peldiak alerted me to those a few years ago, and the benefits and drawbacks of using left-handed sugars. And we're going to be talking also about some of the more popular sugars like agave sugar, which is really only fructose, as it turns out. So these are the mysteries that are really happening in real time today, and it's extremely confusing. So I wanted to have a show where each sugar would be broken down into its atoms and built back up to work through the physiology of the body and where it goes and what it does when it's there, and I thought that would be a very interesting topic. So on board, I have Dr. Peldiak, as I mentioned, Dr. Peter DeCock from from where do I want to say? He's from Brussels. Whew! And other experts in the field of sugars. So stay tuned for that as we make our way through another season of CrossLink Radio. This is going to be an exciting series of shows, I hope, and we'll be very adamant about making sure that we're getting to the bottom line of these sugars. So what I'm finding is that I'm having a little bit of difficulty finding people that have that kind of knowledge that I'm looking for. So as before, I tried very diligently to have a particular type of show every single week. I'm not going to be as militant about that. So you can expect the sugar shows to be on Thursdays, but there may be lapses in there as I try to get somebody who's going to really give us the level of information that I want to bring to you. So those are really good good pieces that I want to have for my audience of dental healthcare providers, medical providers, and consumers who are interested in health on their own. So that's the dish right there. And I'm hoping that you'll stay tuned. I'd like to also remind you to come back to the website, either Blog Talk Radio or Twitter or Stitcher or iTunes, and leave a comment. The comments, it turns out, are very much like currency in the podcasting world. And if I do these shows, and I'm happy to do them because I really just like doing them, but I'm not doing them for my own pleasure. I'm hoping to give value to the listeners. And the listeners don't know about this show until they hear about it. And the best way to hear about it is to hear about it from their friends. I often recommend my favorite podcasts to friends of mine, including the Bulletproof Executive and the Audacity to Podcast and the Podcast Answer Man. All of those podcasts, and the Underground Wellness Podcast, are key podcasts to me that really have helped propel my knowledge and help me formulate questions about my own health that have led me to some astounding observations and some real answers. You know, for instance, that in October of 2014, it was discovered that I have a pretty decent allergy to and to dairy products. And by having that allergy, that was increasing my inflammatory load far and above tolerance levels. So I have a very high C-reactive protein number based on these allergies. So later on, this coming up week or so, I am going to be having my blood tests redone and will know if avoiding those food groups, which has not been very much fun, has made a difference in my inflammatory load. So those are the kinds of things that we'll be talking about as we go along, and those are the kinds of things that have come out of my listening to podcasts and some alternatives to traditional medicine. I didn't want to be in a position where I was going to a doctor to find out that I had to eat less and exercise more and that my cholesterol numbers were all over the place, which is another artifact of the allergy to the foods and the inflammation that I've been carrying around with me. So not only that, I have discovered through podcasts the idea of thermography, and you will find that I have a nice interview with Dr. Gelstadt on thermography, which is thermal imaging, a thermal photograph of the human form, which identifies within tenths of degree inflammation in the body. So I'll be able to report back on that, and that came out of listening to podcasts. The benefit of thermography, if you haven't yet listened to the thermography interview, is that we can identify locations of inflammation and potentially treat those those conditions in those localized areas. They are using thermography as a alternative to mammography. So for breast cancer scanning, they found that it is better and more accurate than mammography. So I'll be looking at that. My son has been having a problem with the tooth. It's been taking forever to get his teeth fixed because he's so busy. And so now he's got a problem with a tooth, and he doesn't know if it was one of the teeth that had been repaired or not. And so he's also going to be having a thermography imaging of his face to see if he has a pulpitis, which would not necessarily be visible on an x-ray. If you remember from past shows, I talked to you a long time ago about a person in the Milwaukee area that was brought to my attention who was suffering greatly from a root canaled tooth, and nobody would take the tooth out because on the x-ray it looked fine. I am sad to report to you today that he is still suffering. Those teeth that were bothering him 2 years ago have been removed, but the infection was so insidious and traveled to all parts of his body that he is now he's now suffering with a mycoplasma pneumonia, which has been very recalcitrant and very difficult to treat. That infection has crossed the blood-brain barrier, and he is suffering neurological symptoms from this infection as well. He is very sick from taking the antibiotics at the level that he needs to take it to get rid of this bacterial infection, and he is now suffering from a C. diff infection because of the lack of bacteria in his gut. And so it just continues to get worse and worse. And had I known more about thermography, we may have been able to avoid some of this by showing that the tooth that had the root canal that was bothering him that didn't look bad on the x-ray was indeed a hot tooth. The one that was causing him a lot of trouble in his mandible turned out to be fractured as the oral surgeon removed the tooth, and the infection was very visible, as was the infection around his wisdom tooth. So teeth are not inert. They're incredibly important in all aspects of human existence and human experience, but they have to be managed. And I would hope that dentistry would be very much helpful in that. What has happened in dentistry is that it's a cottage industry, which has started to be less and less so. People think that dentistry in general, and that has how it has evolved into this corporate structure where there are hundreds and hundreds of dental practices under a single umbrella, as a bad thing. But by doing so, they can measure things easier, and they can develop standards and develop ways of moving forward with science easier than they can with just being a lone dentist or two dentists in a practice with two or three hygienists and a couple of dental assistants and somebody in the front office. So most dental practices never even do simple arithmetic based on their patient population to know how many of those patients have diabetes, how many of their patients have diabetes and periodontal disease, how many of those patients have diabetes and dental decay. The percent of deep pockets per patient is a very good indicator for diabetes. So, you know, all of those kind of things just never happen in a cottage industry kind of a dental practice. And it's not happening in the group practices either, I have to say, but the chances are higher that that will happen. So that's kind of where we come back around to the sugar discussion, because that is something that can be system-wide, and it is not understood very well, even in the large group practices. And I hope that offering these discussions on sugars alone will help the dental professionals understand how better to treat their patients, aside from just having their patients stop using sugar, period. So there you have it. That's it for today's episode. I encourage you to share these episodes with your friends and families and let people know about the information that I give to you. If you have direct feedback, you can contact me at crosslinkpresent@aol.com. I do offer oral health coaching now, and I can do that for you if you contact me at crosslinkpresent@aol.com. As a patient or as a clinician, I can help guide you through these new scientific ways of keeping your teeth or helping your patients keep their teeth. So take it easy, have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next time.